I'm good. Good talking to you.
Well, I'm very excited to talk to you, James. I have been such a big fan of this film since I first saw it last year on the Fest Circuit.
That's right. Yes, I remember we spoke. We had a really lovely conversation, and yeah, it's good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. And I'm just so thrilled that I knew it would get picked up for distribution. And I've now watched it four times.
Wait, how many times?
Four.
Four times. Wow. Okay, so you've got all the nuances. Four is a big number.
Well,
yeah, you're a super fan.
You know, because I watched it last year twice, and now I've watched it twice again. And what's really great is Chris's dialogue, his script, and the dialogue that he's written. It's so biting and witty. And there are lots of Easter eggs in the dialogue that once you've seen the film once, you can follow along and see where it's going.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, ever since Chris's first draft, he had dialogue that jumped off the page. You know, he really excels at it. He's got a knack for it. You know, he's from New York, so it's got that kind of bustly rhythm to it. And he was also a musician in a past life. He was like a pop star. So if you want to dig up on YouTube, you can probably find a couple funny clips of him. But yeah, he's got that musicality to it, and I also have a musical background as well. So I really responded to that, and you know, I also have an editing background, which obviously has a lot of musicality built into that. So, you know, a lot of it was about finding a rhythm for the movie, and you know, playing to that strength that Chris had that was, you know, in the dialogue from the very first draft.
And you know, that musicality is in the dialogue, but more importantly, you have talented actors that bring it to their delivery, because so easily some of the dialogue could fall flat if it isn't delivered with that musicality and that cadence. And
absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think one of the perfect examples is Heather Matarazzo's character of Mary.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, and she brought her own, you know, interesting. You know, I mean, I like thinking in terms of music, but she has a really interesting syncopation, you know, especially that first kind of scene where we're introduced to her, for sure.
Oh, yeah. With the coffee, tea, water, warm water, hot water with lemon, snack, cookies. Yeah, she is brilliant with that. But having now seen it so, you know, quite a few times, I really am able to pick up even more of what you have done. The production values are incredible here, James. Incredible.
Thank you.
You know, and don't think I didn't notice that the one shirt that you guys have Heather's character Mary dressed in, the very frumpy tannish beige one, those are little orange carrots on there. That more or less metaphorically is, you know, she's dangling carrots in front of George and Lux.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the color palette was a big deal, and we had amazing, you know, people in the key positions there, the costume designer, Coco, and the production designer, Maddie. You know, these people are just tremendous, and, you know, we lucked out with locations, you know, that the mansion itself, we saw a lot of different places, but none of them had the kind of, I don't know, there's a real filmic cinematic quality to that house. They use it a lot for photo shoots and music videos. You know, it always photographs well, but then we also had Mike Simpson, who's a sort of gifted cinematographer, you know, who was able to capture that and to light it appropriately. You know, the color palette and the lighting schematics were a huge deal going into this. You know, just kind of finding a consistent but also, like, wide color palette to use. Mm-hmm. So that we could essentially, you know, give some sort of cohesion to this film because, as you know, Debbie, we were playing with a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of different genres, a lot of different tones, a lot of different moods, you know, so we wanted to make sure that there was, you know, a cohesion to the film, even though it does dip and swing back and forth into so many different worlds, you know?
Color and lighting is king in this film. It is everything. Your visual tonal bandwidth is just impeccable, and it is so stunning. I'm really curious about, and what I really notice is that Mike has a lot of super sunlight, very yellowy. You make the most of these floor-to-ceiling windows in this mansion, and then you bring that that sunny yellow palette, you know, almost a wash, over the first two-thirds of the film, more or less. And then we'll get to the third act, and it gets toned down. It gets gray. Everything, the sun is gone, and everything is grayed down, just this side of black and white. Of course, tying it in with the black and white ball, but also with what has transpired and these kick-ass twists that Chris has put in the script. But how challenging was the lighting with this house in particular? Because you've got that huge pool area, you've got the tennis court seats, you know, and you really make the most, you and Mike make the most of that depth of field. While still keeping it the focal length so that we feel it's in our face.
Yeah, it was challenging, you know, because the orientation of the house is interesting too. It's kind of squat, almost like, you know, the Pentagon, you know, it's like, and it's kind of vertical, but we're shooting in an anamorphic aspect ratio, so there's a lot of, the left and right to deal with. So, finding the scope and maximizing the majesty of the house was difficult, and you're right, we did have to use a lot of the depth of field, you know, so that it felt really expansive. And the harder task was the exterior night shoots. That was really difficult because, you know, as you know, we're working on a limited budget, it's an independent film, but we had to light so much of the house all the way back to the tennis court and even further back than that. So we're, you know, dealing with humongous lights, you know, that really needed to, you know, kind of define the house at nighttime. That was, you know, when Marcello comes to the house and there's an exterior, when they come back to the house from the bar in the very beginning. So those were really, really difficult, and hats off to Mike and, like, the Griffin, electric apartment for that, because they made the house shine. You know, I mean, I thought it looked beautiful. It was kind of like, almost like, like Beetlejuice or something, you know, like, so fun and poppy, and, you know, it was really expressive, which I really loved, and I thought it matched, at least, like you said, the beginning, right, where there's, you're trying to, you know, be enveloped into this world where it's alluring and a little bit dangerous, but fun, you know, and then, obviously, towards the back end, you know, things shift a little bit, but that was obviously a huge challenge, and I think, you know, everybody pulled it off.
Well, and with those night shoots, and I hope people notice this, because, and you've got the two different scenes of night shoots happening. You've got Marcello, and then you've got Ellison, the investigator, for another night shows up. But that camera is positioned. It is so beautifully the way it's framed. But you're going straight from the foyer, that front porch and the foyer, all the way through the hallway to the pool area out back. And that's tricky because you've got the reflective nature of the water of the pool that we can see through those windows, all the way in the back of the house. It's a beautiful, beautiful lensing by Mike.
That was amazing. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that even though the movie has a lot of comedic elements, there are these really tense moments in the film. And I think that was something that we wanted to make sure we nailed, so it was disarming, right? I mean, obviously Jordan Peele does it really well, and, you know, horror and comedy and thriller and comedy work really well with one another if you can pull it off, because it's really, I think, hopefully disarming to the viewer. Oh, I'm having a lot of fun. Wait, I'm scared. Why am I scared? I didn't think I'd be scared right now. And so that was something that we really tried to pull off. And, you know, we did that with, again, like, you know, pacing. You know, there was like, we really tried to pace things out and tease the tension out of those moments. But, and the performances, right? I mean, you know, we were talking about Chris's dialogue, and we were so, we, we were more than lucky. And I think along the way with this movie, just for some reason, you know, obviously all independent films are challenging, but you know, we were charmed, you know, in all these moments where we found the right crew, we found the right cast. But you know, finding Eliza to play against Chris was, you know, such a blessing. So she was amazing.
Well, one of the beautiful things about having Eliza and Chris. And, you know, she's got a great line. Look, she's got a great line in the film where talking about potentially murdering her husband to get money. You know, it's, hey, we're rich and we're white. We're not going to get caught. But it just, the way she and Chris play this, it comes off these biting and even the raunchy sexual commentary. It becomes more banal. And very matter of fact, that this is the world and this is what they say. And then you counter that with Greg, where he comes up with, you know, he's got these very matter of fact lines about hydrochloric acid. I like to keep it around. It comes in handy. It's like these zingers just come out, but you play everything just very matter of fact. Nothing is... You leave your hyper-stylization to your visuals and just let the dialogue and the performances, with the exception of Chris's amazing facial expressiveness, you just let that become very matter of fact. And then you look at what your editor, what Patrick does, and finds the beats. Because you need a mafioso beat. You need a horror beat, you need a comedic beat, and you need a tragic beat. And how long were you and Patrick in editing working on finding the pacing of this film? Because this is a tough one.
Patrick was another like humongous gift. And Patrick and I had known each other for a long time. We came up together in the short form world. So I knew Patrick was really talented, you know, and we both had edited. But honestly, I didn't know how talented he was. So it was like, you know, amazing to have another voice. You know, he was an editor in the truest sense of the word, because I think editors, as much as anybody on a film, are filmmakers first. Mm-hmm. You know, and Patrick has a wide skill set. So what we talked about was, obviously we talked about micro editing and, you know, where scenes and shots to stop and start. But Patrick was amazing because he was such a big picture thinker. You know, mm-hmm. And he'd come off of a few feature films. He edited a beautiful German film, Never Look Away, which was a 3-hour World War II drama about, like, the fall of, you know, like, it was amazing. And then he worked on our 86-minute Lean and Mean, you know, genre thriller comedy movie. But, you know, he brought such an incredibly... kind of objective eye to this whole thing. And I think that was so important, you know, because...
Hi, this is Chris Baker.
Baker, what's up, man? Hey, are we overlapping here, or is it my... I spoke to Debbie for 15 minutes, guys. I'll just kind of listen to you guys, and I'll chime in if you need me to.
We were saying nasty things about you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for announcing yourself.
One more time, if James badmouths me around this town again, that is it.
I mean, this is the second time James and I have gotten to talk. And Greg, it's so good to talk to you again. We chatted just a couple months ago for Down East.
Yeah, we did.
And, of course, Down East, a big, big, big difference watching you in that after I saw The Estate last fall.
Yeah, that is two different roles for sure.
But, Chris...
Different movies, for sure.
Oh, my God, yes. But, Chris, I have to compliment you. This is batshit brilliant, ridiculum. It is campy fun. You're melding a mafioso world with horror, with comedy, with tragedy. And it is just fun from beginning to end. You are witty. The dialogue is biting. It's raunchy. But then, as I said to James, the way it's delivered in the hands of yourself and Eliza and Greg, it comes across as being very matter-of-fact, very banal. Because, hey, we're rich white people, so we can get away with this and say it. I just love it. Love it, Chris.
Sorry, Debbie, I'm off mute now. I had to stop crying because this is just one of the sweetest things I've ever heard. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to finally show this to audiences. It's such a an amazing feeling to hear that what James and I and our producer Adam Michalka aspired to do almost 2.5-3 years ago now, before I even wrote the first draft, for it to click with audiences the way it has so far, we are just so excited. Just like, so overwhelmed and emotional about it, and we felt like we have something special, but you never know if other people are gonna have the same read on it. So really, that means so much to me. Thank you.
Yeah, it is just, James knows I've seen it 4 times now. I saw it twice. I watched it twice last year on the Fest circuit, and I've watched it twice again now. And every time I see more, and every time, I can listen to the dialogue even more intently and pick up on a lot of foreshadowing of what's to come with all of your twists and turns. And it's just so well crafted with some dialogue intensive scenes, so well crafted in that respect. And, for you, Greg, as an actor, this has to be a real treat for you to pick up a script like this and see a character like Joe and what's happening.
Yeah, that's selfishly what brought me to the project, was just how insane the role and how dark and exciting like you said, as an actor to sink your teeth into something like this, a project like this. And the script kind of, it comes off the page, and I was so hyped to do it. And the way, James shot this and how it all came out, it was just, it's amazing. I don't know what else to say. I was beyond surprised, not that I didn't think it would come out good, but just how well it came out. Because when you're doing these indies, one problem after another, and it's just the reality of doing an independent film. And we had our fair share of problems as far as time and all that stuff, and it just looks like a $20 million budget film.
The production values are amazing on this, and you're absolutely right, Greg. This does look like a $20-25 million film, no question about it. It blows my mind when filmmakers, a team of filmmakers and talent, can put together a film like this that looks that good, because there are still those on an indie budget that the creativity gets stopped up sometimes, but not here. But you mentioned something very important, Greg, about shooting it and James's direction. Mike is cinematographer. You've got some sex scenes in here that are so tastefully shot. I have to commend you, James, but for you, Greg and Chris, all right, you guys have two of the best-looking bodies on screen. How hard did you have to work out to maintain those physiques for this film?
I didn't eat. I just didn't eat, and I there were days where I was so hungry, but I thought it helped the character. That was my only prep. Yeah.
And
I ate because I, in my own head, every project I do where I have to have like a shirtless scene or what have you, I always kind of, justify the fact that, Chris is much more lean, and I'm, Joe's supposed to be more of a powerful, physical presence. So I'm just going to eat pizza and be thicker than Chris. So I just ate, and it shows. Chris is ripped, and I am. I'm pleasantly, happily, a little soft.
We would sit across the table at lunch. lunch, you know, we were prepping, you know, the rest of the day, and I would see him eating just this great pile of food, and I would just be like, well, I got to be in a Speedo again this afternoon, so enjoy it. He'd be like, yep, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, have you guys, especially you, Chris, because George does spend a lot of time just running around in a Speedo. Have you ever done a shoot where you're wearing a Speedo for that much of the project?
No. I've done, you know, my fair share of photo shoots and modeling here and there when I was younger. And I think I was very heavy as a child. And I think that I went in college, I just dropped a bunch of weight. And I think that there was this, I don't know, freedom that comes with just, you know, as I move through this industry more, that I just felt, why not? And also the movies that, you know, James and I were referencing, you know, like Wild Things and Cruel Intentions and, you know, these movies from the late 90s and mid 90s and early 2000s, there's just more. I was watching American Gigolo last week. There's just more appreciation for the human form in all of its sizes. I feel like nowadays you're either like superhero ripped, and it's usually like not even in a sexual situation.
Right.
People are just ripped showing their powerfulness in films, but rarely do we see bodies exploring each other. And to me, that's much more entertaining than, you know, CGI, even though I love CGI. It's just, I think that, like, well, you know, Joe, Greg and I, as Joe and George, we are talking in rooms a lot of the time. Or, you know, and that, you know, in independent films, like James and our cinematographer Mike and, you know, our production designer Matt, they just crafted something so visually sumptuous, mostly from one main location.
Right.
And that's why we kept people interested. That was the whole point, you know. And so, yeah, Greg was, that was the hard part about the whole process is that, you know, I remember reading with so many other actors and they just didn't have the bravery and they didn't have the understanding of Joe as a character. And I remember, James, I know you'll never forget this either. You know, Greg sent in his original tape, and then we did a Zoom or a FaceTime audition in person live with me and him. And he had me crying. I was so scared in the scene. You know, he immediately understood this character, and he was the only Joe that we ever, you know, could imagine now playing this part. It was so great to work with him, and he was always so game for everything. This is his first gay love scene, too. Big step in an actor's career.
Enjoyed every second of it.
I mean, Greg, you get the best of both worlds.
I get
Chris and you get Eliza.
There were no complaints from me. There were no complaints.
Yeah, I'm real.
It was a blast. I mean, it made me grow as an actor and explore and, you know, working next to Chris. I mean, it was amazing. He was, you know, he was game, and his passion for the project inspired me, and his performance inspired me, to be honest with you. I mean, every you know, what he did the best, whatever scene he was doing, in my opinion, was it is such a crazy script and the things he says, but he commits to it and it comes off so real and also, you know, as bad as George is in some ways, you feel for him, and that's what you have to do in a movie. You have to feel for that character, and it was just awesome working with him every second.
Well, look, I feel for any character that finds it handy to keep hydrochloric acid around in a 55-gallon drum. I'm all in with that. The camaraderie, the chemistry between the two of you and Eliza is just this triumvirate. It is delicious. It is wonderful. Did you guys hang out in between? Did you have rehearsal times? Was James a taskmaster? How did this work to get this great on-screen chemistry?
Oh, definitely. rehearsals. No time for that. But Greg and Eliza and I, you know, in between scenes and stuff, we would just talk about our relationships, about our lives. And I really love getting to know them as people, which I think sometimes in a work acting situation, you really don't get very often.
Mm-hmm.
That's in my experience. I found such a deep connection with them, and I know that that was part of what came up on screen, in addition to just their total understanding and commitment to the material. Absolutely.
Well, commitment and more than it, that's got a dual meaning in this film. You know, some of these characters might need to be committed.
sure can. Sure will. Yeah.
I'm curious for you, Greg, because you are a storyteller in your own right. What was it about this script that really jumped out at you? You did such an amazing job coming up with the story for Down East and working on that. So I'm curious, what kicks in for you when you see a script come by you?
Yeah, first of all, it's the specific role, and if you feel like you can do a good job or bring something to it, and if I ever feel like I can't, I like a challenge, but if I just feel like I can't bring anything to it, I will just pass on it. And, you know, I felt like maybe I could have some fun with this and bring something to it, and that's first and foremost. And then I think when Chris or James was describing it as, like, in the vein of, like, Cruel Intentions and Wild Things, actually, I think I was on set, and I don't know who I was talking to, either Chris or James, and I said it just reminded me, that's what I first thought of when I read the script, was it was in the vein of those movies, and you don't see that often. And I do feel like, you know, I don't know if it's a fear thing or with the simple, like, horror films or Marvel movies or everything that's coming out nowadays, I feel like a movie like this is very rare, especially these days, and I just thought it was so cool and so fun. And I mean, anyone who read the script would want to do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is, as I was watching it, I kept thinking of Franco in Spring Breakers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the very high gloss, neon, colorful, super saturation, and batshit crazy.
yeah, and it just had some balls, like, you know, dare I say, Tarantino-esque almost. Like, it just had some, the script just had some balls.
You know,
it was exciting to read.
So before I let you go, since we're just about out of time here, I've got to ask you guys, for each of you, what is the one single scene or moment that stands out for you, is your favorite? Go.
Kim, you didn't say that was a question the journalist was going to ask. I don't have an answer for that. I don't have a prepared answer for that. I'll let you guys go, and maybe I'll think of something real quick while you guys give your answer.
I think it was the funnest one for me was actually not a dialogue one. It was Eliza and Greg and I at the pool dancing in slow motion. I think that there was something so, because we're trying to have fun, but I think the awkwardness of that dancing on set made us all laugh so hard. And, you know, all this time later, through everything, that was such a moment of pure joy that felt so silly, but also so needed. So that was my favorite memory, I think, just laughing so hard during that.
And what about for you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Chris real quick on that. And just when we're at that quick little snippet, when we're at the desk, and it goes along with that same montage. It was just, that whole day was just fun. It was zero dialogue, and it was just pure laughter the entire time, and I think it really showed in the film, in the final cut.
And last but not least?
I'm gonna give you four. No, I we worked hard on this whole thing, but I really, you know, for me, the rewarding ones were the hard and challenging ones, the action sequences, and they're kind of three big set pieces in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, thinking of the first and the last one in particular, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I think we really hard to design tense moments and, you know, give something new to each of those action sequences. And then for straight dialogue, which was such a simply shot scene, was the first lawyer scene. George, and I just thought that worked so well because, you know, we didn't do anything, you know, filmically, really. We just, we pointed to cross coverage on the actors and they did their thing, and it was beautiful. So anyway, that's my answer.
Oh, guys, thank you so much. And I hope I get to talk to all of you again.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you again.
Okay. Bye-bye, guys.